This is the Life Church Podcast.
Thanks, Pastor Wayne. Man, isn't it awesome to be a part of a church that isn't just concerned with ourselves, that we send people out, that we're involved in loving our community, meeting the needs of people, very real needs of people. Isn't that cool? Cool. I'm hoping that on the inside you're agreeing with me. Good morning. My name is Tony. I am the worship and life group pastor here at Life Church. And happy Independence Day weekend. Hopefully you get to watch something blow up in the next couple days on purpose. Before I get started today, it's not every day I get to publicly acknowledge my parents. They're here today sitting over with my wife. They're here and just amazing people. If you get a chance to talk to them. They don't like that I just did that. Amazing people. Like I said, not every day that I get to publicly acknowledge how awesome and amazing parents. They've been there in all the firsts of my life, you know, riding a bike and baseball games and bailing me out of jail, things like that, you know. Good stuff. They're amazing people. They actually just got done with a week of what they called cousin camp, and it's taking 9 grandchildren, all under the age of 7, for a whole week. Yes. And everyone's alive. Everyone's still there. But I think we should take a moment and just pray for their sanity a little bit. And just kidding. I mean, it's amazing that their grandparents were willing to do that. It's pretty cool. Our kids love it. So this morning, I have a message entitled Grace in the Wilderness. We're going to talk about what it is to respond to the trials of life. Oftentimes, we find ourselves reacting instead of responding. And when we react, we make our situation far worse than where we would have been already. But we don't always control the things that happen in our life. We know that, right? Things happen just because that's life. That's the natural order of the sinful world that we live in. Things just happen. We are stuck with the consequences of poor decisions of other people. Can't control other people. Or even maybe the consequences of your own poor decisions, our own poor decisions at times. But how we respond when difficulties arise, when trials arise, will make all the difference. Because I believe the response of the average believer when crisis hits, when tragedy hits our life, is fear, which paralyzes us, causes us to do nothing. Or worry, we allow all the what-ifs, all the impossibilities to consume our minds. Or we withdraw and we fall back into isolation. Or maybe just confusion. We get sent into a tailspin. And we end up reacting. We end up doing and saying and believing things that aren't true. Today, I'm not here advocating that we just have no feelings towards anything that happens in life. That's not what I'm saying. Feelings are good. Emotions are a good thing. God has emotions, and they're perfect. But what tends to happen is we have this mindset of, well, things are going really well, so God must be really happy with me. Or things are going poorly. Things are bad right now, so God must be mad at me. And I want to suggest to you this morning that, what would happen? What would your life look like if you were so deeply rooted in God, if you were so deeply rooted in intimacy and relationship with Jesus that you weren't tossed to and fro by every storm of life? Sometimes we get caught off guard, but in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on to test you as though something strange were happening to you." He's talking to Christians who are being persecuted, killed. And he's saying, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal. We can't always plan. We don't plan. We don't know what's coming around every corner. When the trials come in life, we don't always plan for that. But we can be prepared and say, when certain things happen, this is how I will respond. This is what I'm going to do. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Whenever I've read this in the past, I've thought, what a weird thing to say. Consider it pure joy. Like, get excited when trials come. So you say, how many of you in this place, when difficulties come, you're like, yeah, let's go through some hard times. Nobody does that, right? But that's not what he's saying. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It goes beyond a feeling. But what joy is it sees past the circumstance, past the situation to the other side. And in this case, he says that faith produces perseverance, which causes maturity and us being complete and not lacking in anything. It's seeing past. It's having the ability, the wisdom to see beyond. Who wants to be mature? I do. I want to be mature. Nobody wants to be immature. We all want to be overcomers and we all want to persevere, but rarely do we want to go through any difficulties. We want a life of ease. And sometimes when we think we're following Jesus, that life is going to be good. And actually the Bible says when Jesus said, you sign up with me, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble in this world, but don't worry because I've overcome this world. We're going to face trouble. But God is going to bring us through it. And on the other side is maturity and being complete and not lacking anything. So this morning we're going to explore three things that we can do to position ourselves to be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. And we're going to explore the life of John, one of the disciples. He was known as John the Beloved. And I think he gave himself that nickname, which I always thought was kind of strange. It was like if you had a friend or something that were like, you're like, hey, John. He's like, no, people are calling me Ace now. But who is? No, just believe me. Everybody's calling me that now. Okay, I'm not going to. But in the Gospel of John, it says, John the Beloved, John the one whom Jesus loved. He was part of the big three. That Jesus had the 12 disciples, and then he had those closest to him, Peter, James, and John. He was there with Jesus at the biggest moments in Jesus' ministry. He was there when Jesus died on the cross. In the early church, he was one of the pillars of the church. He was also known as John the Evangelist. He was out on the countryside evangelizing and spreading the gospel and planting churches. He's the only one of the disciples not to die a martyr's death, not to be killed. All the other disciples were killed, brutally killed, and he died of old age. And that doesn't mean that he didn't experience great trouble, because he did. There's a story of him that he was, these people sought to kill him, and they were going to throw him in a vat of boiling oil to kill him. What a way to die. And he escaped miraculously, completely unscathed. He experienced incredible persecution, an amazing man of influence, but one day he was captured and he was exiled to an island called Patmos. And it wasn't a vacation island, it was a penal colony. It was a completely desolate place. There was nothing there but other criminals, murderers, thieves. They had some mines there that we were forced to work in. And people were sent there to die. They didn't, rarely did they come and pick them up. So here you have this man who is experiencing persecution, but the church is exploding and God is doing incredible things. His ministry is firing all cylinders, and it's put to a stop, and all of a sudden he's exiled to this place completely alone. And we can learn a lot from John's response to incredible difficulty. Because for most of us, we would be discouraged and defeated and just say, well, I guess that's it for me. My life is over. I'll just wait for death. But that's not what we see. And so if you've got your Bible, you can turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation We're going to start in Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to go through the entire book of Revelation this morning. We'll move on to the harlot of Babylon next. Just kidding, we're not going to do that. She's leaving. No, just kidding, we're not going to. Wayne's going to do that next week. I'm just kidding. So in John chapter 1 and verse 9, this is how John responds. I love it. He says, I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So let's stop there quick. You might see that there's not very much there. What can we learn from that? The first thing that John is doing here is he's reminding himself, he's reminding the people that he's writing to, that we are not alone. Trials can be lonely. We can feel like nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody's experienced what I've experienced before. You can feel completely alone. And John is encouraging the brothers and sisters in the faith. He's encouraging himself that we're together. We're companions in this. We're a family. We are not alone. And if you came here today and you're feeling alone, you're feeling isolated, you're feeling like you're walking through this life alone, I want you to know, whatever you're going through, that you're not alone. You are not alone. We are with you. God sees you. God is with you. You know, we were made for each other. We need each other. I need you. You need me. God made us. He describes us as his children, as a family. He also describes us as a body. How many of you would be willing to give up one of your body parts? Nobody, right? I like them. I've gotten to know them over the last 33 years of my life, you know? But when a body part isn't working correctly or it's missing, we notice. We weren't meant to live in isolation. We need one another. There are things that I can learn from you. There's things that you can learn from me. When we're struggling, when we're in difficulty, the tendency is to withdraw from people. But we need not to do that, because when we come together, there's encouragement. There's a life-giving message from someone. Sometimes in my life, I've needed someone to kick me in the rear end. We need each other. Ephesians 4, in verse 29, it says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for edification, to meet the need of the moment, so that it may bring grace to those who hear it. The need of the moment, the need of the moment. God knows the need of the moment, and there's times where we come where, like I said, we need encouragement, we need a friend, we need comfort. You know, Christians aren't very good at comfort. We have a lot of answers. Sometimes we can feel like comfort is kind of joining in on a pity party. And that's not what it is, because joining in on a pity party is not good. That's like heaping on. But comfort is simply saying, coming alongside someone and saying, I'm sorry that you're going through this. This is hard. I see that it's hard, but I'm with you. Sometimes it's not saying anything. It's just being with someone. Sometimes women are better at this than men are. No offense. That's why kids often run to their moms or instead of their dads when they get hurt. My daughter does. She could fall down and I could say, oh, come here, honey, and right past me to my wife. Unless I'm the only human in the room, then she'll come to me. Why? Because dads are usually like, just suck it up. You're fine. Rub some dirt on it. Right? Moms are, oh, come here. Let me help you. But often we do that. And there's a place, there's a time and place for telling someone, hey, come on, move forward. But there's a time and place, too, for saying, hey, I'm just with you. You know, there's times in my life where I've known the answer. I've known what to do. I've known what I would tell someone in my situation. But you know, my wife is so good at comfort. There's times where I've come home and I've just been struggling or discouraged about something, and she'll just simply say, Tony, I'm sorry. Sorry that you're going through that. but I'm with you. She puts her arms around me. Man, what a gift that is. But that's why we need each other, the need of the moment, so that it can bring grace. Grace empowers us to push forward, to move on. You are not alone. So moving on in verse 10. John says this. He says, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Man, I love this because, again, a lot of us would just take the day off. John was having an incredible ministry. I'm sure he was preaching constantly. There was nobody saying, "John, tell us something." He wasn't seeking God for a word. He wasn't seeking God for his blog or for something like that. He was just simply on his face, just going after Jesus for no other reason than just to know him better. And when times of struggle face our life, a lot of times we run to a lot of other places. When we need to do is get on our face before Jesus and just say, "Jesus, I need you. I need you now. More than ever, I need you. Speak to me now." And we worship. Jesus says in Matthew 6 that we should go into our room and close the door. And God will see us there in that secret place. We shut ourselves and we get alone with God. And it's in that place that we're not just throwing up requests to God and hoping that he'll hear us. But no, it's us coming before God and getting our head and our heart in alignment with him. With his head and his heart. What if you had a heavenly perspective on an earthly situation? What if you saw things differently? A lot of times when we look at our situations, we see them in our own eyes, which is that of hopelessness or this huge mountain in our way and all the impossibilities. What if you saw the mountain in front of you? You saw your circumstance through the eyes of Jesus. We would look at it differently. There's a word that God wants to give you. You have to get alone with him. Get on your face before him. Worship him. Seek him. Listen. It's also in that place is where we pray a prayer like David, "Search me and know me, God. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of the everlasting," where we simply just say, "God, is there anything in me that's not pleasing to you?" It's a refining time. Refining isn't fun. In Revelation 3, Jesus says, "I counsel you to buy me gold refined in the fire." That's how gold is refined. It goes through extreme heat. It's melted, and all the impurities float to the top and are taken off. When we're going through the fire, when we're walking through the fire, it's in those times that we're refined, we're squeezed. Our faith is tested. Who we are, what we believe, is tested in times of difficulty. Faith is simply the knowing of God and who he is and what he wants to do. And that happens through relationship, but it also happens through going through difficulties and seeing God's faithfulness through it. In the Old Testament, you would see men of God, they would have a staff. And that staff was for many purposes, but one of it was is every time that God would do something significant in their life, they would mark it on their staff. So that when they were walking through the fire, when they're going through difficult situations, they just simply had to look at their staff and see, "God, you've been so faithful to me. You've been so faithful that even now, you're going to be faithful. You're going to be faithful. You're not going to leave me hanging. You're not going to leave me an orphan. You're going to show up. You're going to be here." And it's in those times in private when no one else is looking that God is going to begin to speak into your heart, speak into your life. You're going to uncover treasures in his word. He's going to give you things that are for no one else except for you. But we've got to seek him. Moving on, he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day," and then this. He says, "And I heard Behind me, a loud voice as a trumpet. He was seeking Jesus, the Spirit, on the Lord's day, and he heard a loud voice as a trumpet. Again, imagine his life. He had all these people constantly, like a lot like Jesus. They were always around him, wanting something from him. And all of a sudden, now he's alone on this island, and all the other voices are silenced. And he hears a voice, the voice of Jesus. And in chapter 4, it says, John, come up, come up. I'm going to show you things that I've never shown anyone before. Sometimes we need to get rid of all unnecessary voices in our life. Don't take that the wrong way. I'm not saying you stop talking to your spouse. I'm not saying you stop listening to your boss. Your problems will get worse if you do that, okay? Don't do that. But sometimes there's excess things that we have in our life that are just noise. Sometimes we have to say no to some things. Life is busy, isn't it? We all hope for a season where we can just say, oh, well, once I get here, life won't be so busy. But it's always busy. That season will be busy in a different way. We either have to learn how to say no to some things or quiet the noise. Sometimes we need to turn the TV off. Sometimes we need to take a break from social media. I don't honestly think that we were created in a way to be inundated with so much negativity all the time. What are you putting into your mind? What are you putting into your heart? I'm not saying any of those things are bad. I'm saying there's certain times where we have to take different, I was going to say desperate times, desperate measures, something like that. Requires something else, something different from us. You know, there was a season in our life about 3 years ago where our daughter, Abby, was born. And that was just a life-changing experience. You just can't, there's no way to prepare for that. You could read every book and there's just no way. Nobody told us what this is going to be like. And so about a month and a half in, we just said, Grandma, Grandpa, will you take Evie for the weekend? And we just need a break. And so we did that and we went to this conference up in the Minneapolis area. And as we were, it was the Friday night service, and as I was in worship, I just was praying. I was saying, God, I want more of you, Jesus. I want more of you. I'm just not content at where I'm at. God, just show me, is there anything in my life and in my heart that isn't pleasing to you? God, I'll do anything for you. God, I'll go anywhere on this earth for you. And God can speak to us in many different ways. God can speak to us through his word. God can speak to us in an inner voice. He can speak to us audibly if he wants. He can speak to us through other people. He can speak to us through visions or pictures. Well, as I was praying, I got this very vivid, very clear picture in my head of me in our house going up to the wall where our TV was and taking our TV out, walking it down the driveway and setting it on the curb. And then going into my garage and building these shelves and putting these shelves up where the TV was. And as I'm praying, I'm like, that's weird. It's a weird thing to come into my head right now. So I didn't think anything of it. The next morning, I was doing the same thing. We were worshiping. And I was like, God, I'll do anything for you. I'll go anywhere. Jesus, I just want more of you. If there's anything in my life. And I had the same thing happen. This picture. And I was like, God, I don't know if you just heard what I said, but I said I would go anywhere for you. I said I would do anything. Are you saying that you want me to get rid of my TV? That seems so ridiculous. It seems so small. It's not like this big thing in my life. It's not like this thing that I am spending countless hours doing, you know? It's not like I'm addicted to this. So I didn't think anything of it. And God knows I didn't tell my wife about it because I knew if I told my wife about it, that was it. TV's gone. Right? So I just struggled by myself. And that night again, same thing. And I'm just wrestling with God. I said, God, this is not a big deal. And I remember he said, Tony, if it's not a big deal, then why are you making such a big deal out of it? Thanks. You've got a point, God. And I just was like, God, I don't get it. I just don't get it. And so that night we're leaving this conference, and we ran into this lady that we know from back home in North Dakota, and we didn't know she was there, and she didn't know we were there, but she goes, oh my goodness, it's so good to see you. I was actually praying for you guys in worship tonight, and praying for your ministry, your marriage, your life, and I just feel like God was wanting me to share something with you. Is that all right? And we're like, sure, sure. And she said, I feel like God was saying that you're wrestling with a seemingly insignificant, small decision. That if you're obedient to that decision, it'll be like you take a stake and you drive it into the ground. And as you drive it in the ground, it's going to cause a ripple effect that's going to have amazing effect on your own personal lives, your marriage, and your ministry. Does that make sense? And my heart is like beating out of my chest. And she looks at Kayla, and Kayla's like, yeah, I'm not sure. And they both look at me, and I just lied. I said, no, I don't know. So we left, and I wrestled again with that. And throughout that week, we were back home visiting, and worship team, you guys can come out. And God just began to reveal to me and saying, Tony, I've got so much more for you in your life. I've got so much more I want to show you. And I realized that it wasn't this big, huge thing in my life. It wasn't having a negative effect on our jobs or anything like that. You know, I wasn't staying up all night playing video games or anything. But we realized that we came home, we turned on the TV, and it was just on for the rest of the night. And we went to bed, and then we had spent the last 3 or 4 hours watching a show that we didn't even care about or like. And that was it. That was just a lot of our nights. And God, for this season, was looking to set a new culture for our family, if I would let him. And there's a lot of other things we could have been doing, you know, writing music or building things or spending time together. So I finally said, all right, God. And you always wish that you would just, as soon as God says something, you're like, yes, I'll do it. I'm just being honest with you today. You know, I wrestle with even something as small and stupid as that. Finally, I told my wife, I was like, Kayla, this is what God's doing. I think this is what we need to do. Before I could even get the words out of my mouth, she's like, yes, let's do it. It's like, all right, I guess we're doing it. So the next day, I took our TV down, and I gave it to a friend. And went out to the garage, and we built these shelves. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I was trying to find a picture of these shelves. They're not like these magnificent shelves, like the Michelangelo masterpiece of shelves or anything. They're just shelves on the wall. But every time we would sit down in our living room, instead of just looking up at this TV, we would see these shelves that we had built and books and pictures and different things. And it was a reminder. Every time we sat down, it was a reminder that God was saying, Tony, come on. Same thing to John. Come up. I've got so much more to show you. I'm not done. I'm preparing you for something. This season right now is preparing you for the next. We don't see what's coming down the line, but he sees it. He sees it. And he's looking that we would be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. Ready for that season. Equipped for that season. I do not want you to leave this place today having heard me say, I think TVs are evil. I don't. I don't think that. If you leave and say, tell your spouse or kids that Tony said you need to get rid of your TV because it's the devil, you're lying. I did not say that, okay? We didn't have a TV for the next 2 years. We have a TV now. Our daughter's 3, and we have to watch Daniel Tiger, okay? So we have one, but there was a season and a time and a place for that. Your season, your trial, your difficulty now, it's not going to last forever. John was on that island for 18 months. He thought he was going to be there forever, but one day the emperor died and a boat came to the island and it picked him up and it brought him home. And he was on that island. He wrote the book of Revelations. He saw things that no person ever to exist have ever seen. But you know what? After he left that island, he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, which are all about love, which are all about God's great love. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through, but God knows. He knows. He knows. He sees you. Don't isolate yourself. Get with people that are encouraging, that are love you, that are going to speak positively in your life. Get on your face before Jesus. Cut out some of the excess noise in your life so you can hear him. He's not going to shout over the noise in your life. He speaks gently. Sometimes we need to get quiet, get the things in our life quiet, and lean in it so we can hear his voice. He's got a word for you. He's got something that he wants to impart into you. Position yourself in a way to receive that. Can we stand? One thing Pastor Wayne has told me, sometimes in seasons and trials and difficulties, there's not an answer. There's not like a fix. Sometimes there is. Sometimes there isn't. Sometimes we just got to hang on. Got to hang on for dear life with Jesus and bring us through. But don't give up. Some of you in this place, you want to throw in the towel. Don't give up. Keep pushing through. You hold that sword up high. You keep fighting. You keep fighting. Keep fighting for your family. Keep fighting for the things that God has entrusted you with. And he's going to bring you through it. We're going to pray, and I'm just going to pray over you. And as I do that, if you're just going through difficulties, if you're struggling, just agree with me as I pray. Just pray a prayer similar to this. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We know that we don't always control the things that come down the pike. We don't always see what's around every corner, but you do. And you're preparing us for something greater. And honestly, the victories that we experience in our life can help others experience victory. If we think outside of ourselves, God, I pray for those in this place that are feeling alone. Give them a friend in Jesus' name. Give them someone who will walk beside them. Not in front, not behind, beside them. For those inundated with all the noise of life, God, I pray that you just quiet those things. Get rid of all the excess noise so they can hear your voice clearly. And God, you're faithful to speak. You're faithful to speak. And you hear us and you answer. I pray, God, that we would just position ourselves in a place to win. We wouldn't wallow, but we would respond in such a way that when the trial is done, we would be mature. We would have new insight, a new strength, a new level of faith with you, a new level in intimacy and depth of relationship with you, God. Thank you for each person here. Give them strength in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the Life Church Podcast.